Yeah, I think that division is the line of least resistance for people who are operating below the diaphragm. And unity is the line of least resistance, or the natural, for those who've gotten into heart chakra and above in any significant way. And so it's very much the difference between the lower triad and the higher chakras, I think, in terms of perspective. So most everybody is deeply, deeply tangled in the personal, which is ultimately divisive or separative, and that's what leads to this chronic self-importance and very shallow-minded, actually, because it's all about what I think and what I feel and what I want and what I don't like, and not about what is for all, which is where great real power comes from, that perspective of what is the way, what is true for all.
Yeah, that's actually a very deep point, I think, is that people seem to be stuck in the personal because there's something they haven't yet finished in the personal. It's called a developmental deficit. It's an interesting that's a very good perspective because what allows a person to be free of lower triad, lower chakras capture, meaning capture of in the personal, where a person's perspective or life expression is captured only in the personal. And everything revolves around my feelings and my ideas and my desires and my perspectives, and that's the basis of this self-importance or self-centeredness, which is the norm for most, is because they didn't. There's not enough love in that system, and you can say yes, as you're saying, that they didn't get enough love in childhood, which supported the individual, the positive sense of self, self-affirmation, adequate to not be attached to the personal and develop the personal in light of the universal. That development or that advance beyond the strictly self-centered, self-important personal requires love or individuation, as you're saying, yes. That individuation comes from it's just like the investment of animals by third density beings forming a spirit complex. They go from mind body to mind body spirit complexes in third density. The humanization of the animal is the emotional, the investment of love. It's basically an investment of love that leads to it's a metaphysical investment of love that leads to the formation of spirit complex or harvest ability, or is associated with harvesting of animal to human, which is very comparable to the psychological or psycho-spiritual individuation I think you're talking about, which is very much associated with being loved or feeling love or self-affirming and positive sense of self sufficient to no longer be stuck in the personal. And most people haven't gotten that and haven't done that and are really cycling in 3D repeating because they're cycling in the ways of the lower triad.
Yeah, you can say that healthy, positive, realistic self-esteem or positive self-esteem, healthy sense of self is what's needed for to complete the individuation phase. You see, the individuation phase is akin to clearance of the lower triad. That's called individuation. That allows the person to move to the highest portion of the Maslow hierarchy of needs pyramid, which actually is called self. I'm looking at a copy of it here online. It's actually called self-actualization. The thing about that is, we can understand, in line with that Vedic astrologer, I think that's very accurate, that there are three phases of soul evolution in the octave, associated with dividing the seven chakras into three portions, that can be labeled, that is basically the work of individuation, which is primarily clearance of the lower three triad, lower three chakras, lower triad blockages, and moving to a healthy, true, balanced individuation. The second phase could be called spiritualization, just like he did in that the one you brought there. This is in many ways the development of fourth and fifth chakra, which is a spiritualization of the integrated personality that's individuated. So physical, emotional, mental gets integrated in a holistic, healthy, realistic, balanced way. In individuation, it becomes spiritualized by the development of green ray, blue ray, which is the transpersonal development of the individuation. And then the third, or unification, or universal development, universal is, you know, kind of moving into the universal, is bringing the spiritualized in sense of self, or the expanded sense of self that has then been spiritualized with love, wisdom, into accord with the universal and the collective in a way that's much healthier than, you know, ever could ever happen before the individuation. And so it's beyond the spiritualization of the integrated personality, or the individuated person becoming spiritualized. Second stage, or development of fourth and fifth chakra, so that the person becomes well developed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then the integration of 6, 7, or the bringing of the spiritualized individual to an awareness of unity, and the ability to bring their development into collective formation, the unification phase, or integration of a spiritualized personality into any collective formation, or certainly with awareness of the unity of all. That is the, to me, those are the high, those, that's a threefold classification of soul evolution in the octave, in accord with the seven chakras, and very much in accord with three phases, where the lower triad is the work on the personal that leads to individuation, the work of spiritualizing the individuated person by fourth-fifth chakra activation and integration, and then its accordance with the collective, with awareness of unity, and the capacity and the functions of being able to help the collective as well. And I would say that any person who's stuck at any point in the first two, stuck in the work on the lower triad, or stuck in the self-spiritualization, the person is stuck. Why is a person stuck? What is the basis of distortion? What is the basis of being, quote, stuck? It's basically not having the sufficient input and then internal processing to get beyond that level or to achieve the goal of that particular work. So, yeah, the person who hasn't fully individuated, I would agree, doesn't have a strong, doesn't have an adequately love, wisdom-based selfhood. There's not enough love and understanding, love and understanding. There's not enough discernment and wisdom. There's not enough positive self-appreciation to complete individuation. So they're stuck prior. And likewise, the person who, this is where you see many New Age folks, or many spiritually minded folks, stuck at the second phase of transpersonal development, or the spiritual,
very much akin to what Trogyam Trungpa has talked about, spiritual materialism. So the book Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism can represent in some cases, people who have some degree of individuation or are relatively well individuated, but they're stuck in the spiritual. And stuck in the spiritual is some kind of a higher attachment to selfhood. It's a higher level. It's a greater development. It's not simply physical, emotional, mental, or psychological, as in the first phase. It does include universal, the universals of unconditional love and acceptance, and perhaps some awareness of the multidimensional, and some wisdom, discernment, knowing some principles of life or soul evolution. But the person is still stuck in a personal. It's just they're stuck in the transpersonal rather than stuck in the materially personal. The psychologically personal is the first phase, and then the spiritually personal work of spiritualization of the individuation is the second phase. And people who can't really know, if to the degree that we don't know how to help others, to the degree to which we're spiritually self-centered, and there are a lot of folks like that, you know, particularly like, you know, channels that make their own new system rather than want to learn from traditional systems first. They don't really care about learning from there's no sense that there are those that are more wise and worthy than me. There's sense that everything revolves around me, the personal spiritual, my personal spirituality. That's a kind of self-centeredness in the transpersonal. It's a kind of contraction of transpersonal awareness, and that's why, so people are stuck there because they haven't realized the universality of what they're seeking, and still believe that the goal is wholly personal. And so in some ways you cannot free the self, you know, liberation, enlightenment, complete and perfect enlightenment, development, the goal is no longer a personal goal. At the higher levels of the spiritual, transpersonal work, with greater wisdom and awareness of unity, one realizes that awakening is not a personal matter, even. It's actually the ending of the personal. It's a balanced conclusion of the spiritualized personal or the transpersonal. And so, yes, we get stuck where we haven't provided, the person isn't providing for themselves, ultimately, what's needed to complete that phase, either the personal or the transpersonal spiritualized. So that's a very useful way of looking at the soul evolution in three phases, up the seven dimensions and the seven chakras, in that we're stuck when certain transformation has not yet happened. And that transformation that goes from the personal that needs to individuate to the transpersonal that's spiritualizing, the transformation is ultimately an integration of physical, emotional, mental, or a deep self, a psychological self understanding, acceptance, and self-affirmation in the strictly personal material, personal psychological. People are stuck there because, yes, in a way, they haven't built their house. They haven't built the house of selfhood with adequate love, with adequate self-understanding. And generally, that's catalyzed by input from outside, you know, loving parents, loving childhood, a healthy family kind of thing. But what you've got now is a society that's ultimately service to self, led by those that are on the negative path, who, that's been the case with humanity,
from Atlantean for the last 15,000 years, basically everywhere. I mean, maybe Lemuria was okay, but after that, everywhere in the last 15,000 years, humanity has basically been led by the most aggressive, ambitious, service-to-self-based individuals in each society or nation, it seems. And then you've got, by the social control systems established by service-to-self leadership throughout humanity in the last 15,000 years, souls have been kept at, have been kept stuck prior to psychological individuation, and so kept below the diaphragm with the focus. And a whole lot of that, actually, I think, is because is related to economic instability and insufficiency. If you keep the people poor, or you keep them fighting, or you keep them warring, they'll never have enough materially to get beyond the material survival issues. And if you keep them in conflict with each other intellectually or ideologically or by various groups and their power strugglings, people never get out of the lower triad. And their focus is wholly on the material and the interpersonal social, not on the self-integration of individuation. And so humanity has really been screwed. These 3D repeaters have been screwed by their service of self-leadership, which are themselves a projection or a manifestation of the individuals beneath, you know, at the lower levels of society being screwed or oppressed, unwillingness to develop love and wisdom internally. So if you don't develop love and wisdom internally, or you're in the sinkhole of indifference, as Ra would say, you end up with pathological leadership. Boom. And so, as without, so within. So the pathological, psychopathological, or psychopathocracy, the psychopathocracy of human leadership, historically, globally, is itself an expression of the sinkhole of indifference of individuals unwilling to look deeply within, think and feel, accept and know, and move into true, you know, move to complete individuation. So because they can't do that, they can't get to the spiritualization phase. So this is one way to look at things, and Maslow's hierarchy can be understood that way too, where the higher level of the pyramid, self-actualization, which I'm reading here, some meanings are morality, which is very much fourth chakra, creativity, which is very much fourth and fifth chakra, spontaneity, acceptance, which is fourth chakra again, experience, purpose, which is meaning, which is fifth chakra, significance, meaning again, and inner potential, which is five and six, four, five, six. So the top of this pyramid is akin to the second and third phases of spiritualization of the individuated personality, the movement into the transpersonal, fourth and fifth chakra, and then to the final stage of unification or universalism, universality, and integration to a spiritual collective, the bringing the spiritualized individual integrated personality, the individuated person, the spiritualized individuated person moves into appreciation of unity in the collective, and then can really help and finds meaning in that. Right. So people, we're stuck in the lower, or we can't get to the higher when we're stuck in the lower, and we're stuck in the lower because we haven't created for ourselves those conditions which fulfill the needs of the lower. And the needs of the lower, or the lower triad, when fulfilled, leads to individuation. And yes, Maslow's chart and is very compatible with a chakra-based analysis. So the physiological needs are associated with first chakra physicality. The love and belonging or safety and security levels of the pyramid are associated with the stability of maintaining the need or fulfilling the needs for the physical, and the emotional interpersonal needs associated with relationship and healthy family and human community. So, I mean, the essential needs that would need to be met for the development of individuation, because that's, I think, the first goal, can be met, are met both internally and by relationship. But I think what's happening today is a lot of people are buying into what the collective mass media offers. And in the end, I mean, I have this process listening to a lot of speakers on YouTube. In the end, I find very few can give me something nourishing. Many give me a little, but very few give me more than I've already given myself. And it doesn't mean I'm better. It just means that I'm happy to eat at home, and I can cook well for myself, spiritually or metaphysically. I like my own cooking, and I think people need to learn to enjoy their own cooking, metaphysically or symbolically, in terms of providing for themselves catalyst and experience that is deeply self-fulfilling. And in many ways, other people's journey is not our issue, is not our work. And everybody presenting publicly, in many ways, is really just presenting their personal, the fruit of their personal working. And it may be interesting and it may be relevant, but the relevance is usually limited. And so it's like, rather than learn many songs, it might be useful, or it is useful, to learn to sing your own and create your own songs, which really means to know yourself deeply. Know yourself, accept yourself. So, but humanity is by design, I think, manipulated to be increasingly less able to feed itself spiritually, emotionally, in terms of what's needed for individuation and spiritualization. I mean, there's both going on. There certainly is a lot of good teaching around, but the mass culture certainly is impoverishing people spiritually, is impoverishing. So, yeah, it's a, there's a th this is there's a link here. I just sent this link. It's ED Psych Interactive, Ed Psych Interactive, about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Many people understand Maslow's hierarchy related to human motivation, and you can say that they his pyramid or the hierarchy of needs represents the basis of motivation. What motivates people? This is very deep stuff here. What is the basis of core beliefs associated with what a person thinks they need? And you can say that the fulfillment of unmet needs is the basis of motivation. So I'm motivated, or my intention, right? I mean, check your intention, meaning what are my intentions, is another way of saying what am I motivated for, or what do I intend to do or get or experience because I think I need it, or indeed I do, obviously I need it. And so what a person feels they need is a motivator to set their intention to act in accord with fulfilling the need. And so the lower levels, physiological, he wrote as physiological, which is body needs, safety, security, which is basically stability of maintenance of body needs, nothing, it's still physiological. But then there's the emotional third level, belongingness and love, affiliation with others and acceptance, which is very much the interpersonal, emotional. And then this esteem to achieve, be competent, gain approval, recognition, is an expansion of the interpersonal to the social, and an expansion of the emotional fulfillment to emotional fulfillment associated with social engagement, not simply interpersonal or sitting alone. And that those four are can be understood or can be distinguished as the lower one-third of the pyramid. And in the second portion, the second third of the pyramid, what's shown here is need to know and understand, and then aesthetic needs. These are, again, motivators or determinants of motivation or intention. You know, intentional set, meaning what do you think you need? And so when a person is unconsciously, chronically, excessively self-referential, like, look at me, this is what I think, this is what I think, what about me? And I want you to follow me and listen to me. It's all associated with the intention to fulfill needs in the lower third, the lower triad, or the lower third of this hierarchy, particularly associated with belongingness and love and attention and affirmation and care from others. So in many ways, the degree to which we feel we need others at all, emotionally, is the degree to which we haven't individuated and are still looking to others to get love and affirmation that we haven't sufficiently inbuilt. And then when you get to the second third of the hierarchy, aesthetic needs and need to know and understand, it's certainly comparable to fourth and fifth chakra activation, I would say. We might do this next time. I might just go into this page and we'll just expand this discussion. But need to know and understand as the fifth level, this is, you know, there are many ways of dividing it, as you said. Knowing is very much wisdom, and understanding is very much love. Understanding is really a heart-based comprehension. It's not simply intellectual, but really getting it. Yeah, I get it. And it's not an intellectual, I think I know how things work, but I really feel the truth of this knowing and integrate it. And then aesthetic is basically, beauty, seeking beauty. I think that it's really more so associated with the harmony that comes from spiritualization. The harmony that comes from self-spiritualization. And then in the final third, the upper two portions of this configuration of this, of his pyramid hierarchy of needs, is self-actualization, which is below the highest, which is transcendence. I mean, these guys, not really sure what transcendence is. It's not really different than moksha or nirvana, Nibbana, or complete perfect enlightenment, arahant. This is beyond self-actualization. So self-actualization is not necessarily the highest, when, just like I said, the spiritualization of selfhood is not the end of the line either. But what is certainly interesting to me, and then I'll open to more discussion, is motivation is formed by the seeking to fulfill needs, needs fulfillment, although it's a subjective determination of needs in most cases, the subjective determination of needs and their fulfillment is the basis of the formation of intention and motivation. The basis of motivation
is seeking to fulfill needs. And the definition of those needs, while subjective, individual, does indeed follow a universal, common to all progression, which is the seven chakras, which is basically from physical through emotional to integrated sense of personal mind-body into the spiritual, then to the unification, you know, the universal, beyond the transpersonal, actually, beyond either the separative personal or the transpersonal, beyond that to the universal is where we get transcendence, actually. So there is a piece of work to do common to us all, and we're stuck, as we've said, at any one level when the needs associated with that level have not been fulfilled. They are fulfilled ultimately by processing of catalyst or self-work or how we think and feel and the transformation of our understanding. And the, you know, the qualities certainly of love and wisdom associated with increasing understanding and according with the understanding, like the need to know and understand, right? So spiritually minded people feel angst, like I wrote in Human Crisis and Divine Plan. Spiritually minded people feel angst at the world condition and the negativity and the injustice and all the troubles. To some degree, we don't understand it. Or significantly, we really don't understand it. And the only way to get through the angst, or at least dull the sharp edges of the angst, or make peace with whatever that means, right? People don't really know what that means either. To truly accept is to know it more, which means to face ultimately the metaphysics. It's metaphysics, meaning why is this world the way it is? If indeed there's God and benevolent creation, why do we have such crap here, such trouble, such, you know, such a psychopathocracy, why? It can be known. But you can say that the work of the fulfillment of needs as one progresses to higher levels in this hierarchy of needs and basis of motivation, the fulfillment is increasingly subtle and definitely requires heart-centered discernment, fine development of heart-centered discernment, and a fearlessness also to see and accept what is, and then the willingness to keep going through catharsis all the way up. So anyway, that's what I'll say on that today. Maybe next time we'll look into this page more. It's useful actually. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, but I think the deep principle that I guess we know but is more clear here is that we get stuck when certain needs have not been fulfilled, and there's a progression of these needs or the hierarchy, ultimately we have to fulfill them for ourselves. Humanity, you can say, is stuck where it is in 3D cycling, recycling, because of the lack of love. It's ultimately a lack of self-love. It's ultimately a rejection of the seeking that leads to greater acceptance and understanding. They're not really, I mean, again, the world is changing and more people are certainly moving into the heart and true seeking, I'm sure, for sure. When that doesn't happen, it's because I think people are taking an apparent solution for a final solution
or a temporary solution, temporary satisfaction for a deeper abiding satisfaction or need fulfillment, which it isn't. Taking the temporary to be the long term, which it isn't. Taking the shallow to be the deep and abiding, which it isn't. And this is all very, very subtle. And not wanting to see clearly. You know, I hear from people who talk about their partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, who did bad things to them or said bad things or something. But they still love them and want them and need them, so they feel. There's a disconnect going on there. I can understand wanting and loving and feeling I need the one that I have felt that way for. Yet, if that person is harmful, that person is not the one you thought they were. Or one needs to integrate that information or that reality of their personality, their character, into their sense of who that other person is that I want and love and feel I need. Because maybe you don't need them. And maybe they're not good for you. But many people don't want to see that. Or they would rather hold a painful but relatively comforting, stable, false view than face the pain of disillusionment and breaking their false view into greater truth, which in the long run would provide a better solution, meaning don't seek love from a person who's abusive, or don't idealize the person who seems to be harmful and selfish. Many people just haven't gotten beyond that. Yeah, there is some... It's definitely the case that what I don't want to see about you is what I don't want to see about me. And what I don't see about you allows me to continue being this way that I'm not wanting to see clearly about me. That gives them... In psychology, there's a term called secondary gain, and it's like the gain of the person who stays in an abusive relationship. There is some stability, security by remaining as is, and there's many levels of subtle gain, like you're saying. I can enjoy being aggressive and angry and feel somewhat empowered by that, because I'm not really seeing the full profile or spectrum of what it means that this person is this way to me and how I feel. It allows me to be this way also, and the person may feel there's some subconscious benefit obtained by that. So it's the, you know, ignorance is bliss mode, but it isn't bliss, it's pain. But you have to face the pain to get out of the pain, and face the truth to get out of the illusion. Yeah, right. So the protective or prophylactic immunizing effect of self-understanding. Knowing oneself more is protective against feeling great wounding when others point out these patterns that we're already aware of, that we acknowledge and accept and admit, indeed, I can be these ways. That's helpful. I think that... It's, you know, this is why I wrote that paragraph, How Much Do You Love the Truth? Because I really think that, at least in my understanding of my own process through this, the principles of self-understanding, right, how it is that
self-understanding generates or is developed. Some kind of deep respect for truth and commitment to truth, love of truth, is critical. Which is, if it's true, I really ought to know it. I mean, if it's true and important, I really ought to know it. Whether I realize it myself or whether somebody tells me, even if they're abusively speaking or insultingly speaking it, if there's truth in there, it probably is important that I pay attention and acknowledge what truth there is. And so that's one principle. And another one is there are parts and there is the whole. Psychological patterns that we're ashamed of or that we don't like or that others point out and we feel wounded, but they may well be true, doesn't represent a whole of who we are. It's a part. It's a portion. These are patterns. It's not full identity. And so if we identify with them, then we're taken down, we feel angst every time we acknowledge, or that angst is severe. It's okay to feel some angst, that I'm still acting in these ways that I wish I weren't. But moderate angst and severe angst are quite different. So there's the saying, difference of degree is a difference of kind. So a little bit of angst is quite workable, but severe angst goes into self-hatred, self-punishment, or hopelessness, depression. So the difference of degree leads to it being qualitatively different and quite harmful, of course. But the recognition that that's true, but it isn't all of me, and that's not all I am. But then one needs self-awareness enough to know that, that I own my patterns, but I am not defined by my patterns. These patterns are indeed mine. I admit and accept and acknowledge, but it isn't the whole of me. It isn't the whole of what I am. And that's that is very much fed, of course, by the 6-2 chakra band. The degree to which 6-chakra development or the awareness that comes from 6-chakra activation, which is, as Ra said, self as complete and whole and perfect, awareness of unified self, true spiritual self-understanding or self-awareness, how much that filters into 2nd chakra emotional sense of selfhood, personal selfhood. And most people have nearly none. And that's a real problem, that the deficiency of 6-chakra activation leads to very deformed and limited sense of self in the 2nd chakra, in the personal, emotional-based sense of selfhood. And, of course, the gateway is the 4th ray, or love, and that the problem that keeps a lot of people face, I think, in keeping 4th ray blocked or insufficiently developed to activate 6, to spiritualize and expand truly the sense of self, or to spiritualize, to end with a spiritualized sense of self. The problem is what what heart chakra activation leads to, which is more direct conflict, more direct experience of pain, which is the pain I'm carrying, and how I'm really not happy with myself, not happy with my life, not happy with my relations, not happy in many ways, not well in many ways. That is what's met generally first. That's called a shadow, portion of the shadow. That's what's first met generally by greater heart chakra activation. Because it's easy to love the pleasant, but it's hard to love what we feel bitter, or what conflicts with how I want things to be. So there's what is and what I want to be. But what I want and how I want to feel is another portion of what is. And so, you know, we can admit, yeah, I want to be this, but it also happens to be true that I'm not, and I'm not quite
where I want to be, or my relations and my life expression, my career and my position is not where I want it to be. I can accept that, and but that it's what is first met by greater heart chakra activation, which is all that has been repressed and avoided. That's why heart chakra blockage remains, and that's why the sense of self remains contracted, because sixth chakra doesn't come into play enough.
There's a principle that higher self knows that I think you're referring to, which is that even lifetimes in which distortions are developed and the life is very materialistic, perhaps the intentions are materialistic, can serve to develop essential qualities of character or soul that will be used in much more positive way in future lives. And so the truck driver who has no spiritual interest whatsoever and may have various distortions, just like we all do, is also developing certain qualities of character like perseverance or courage or commitment to responsibility, willingness to take responsibility, and patience, and the ability to stand alone and persist through some hardship, through what's required for his driving and his work, and has inbuilt those qualities for future lives usage. And despite the idea, the fact that certain bad qualities were built in that lifetime too, like, you know, he became a big drinker or got angry at his wife all the time, still, what he developed, the positive qualities were developed by his occupation, by him doing that occupation, that hadn't been developed before that lifetime. Happens all the time. And so, five lives down the line, he will be able to use those valuable character assets, like perseverance and persistence and patience and courage and willingness to stand alone and take responsibility and see the big picture, meaning, you know, he's got to drive 500 kilometers and he just has to keep going and just follow through, can use those qualities in service to other in a very direct way, or to work through his own blockages. So, yes, of course, that's a big picture, if you can see that. The big picture is we're still learning. We're just learning. And don't worry, God will take care of it, and we'll get what we deserve, rightly. The other side is that everybody gets what they deserve, including victims. And this is not politically correct and not fashionable and not pleasant, but every Buddhist knows that. Every Buddhist teacher knows, and Gautama talked about these things all the time. Why is this person suffering? Well, this person did this and that in the past life or in the past of this life, and now it's come back. That's just the way it goes. And so it's also true, and that's a whole other matter, that people, an aspect of heart chakra activation is called taking responsibility. Accepting is fourth ray. Accepting what? Well, accepting responsibility is one portion of accepting, or heart chakra activation consequence, or what's needed for heart chakra activation. It's not simply a knowing I'm responsible, but it's an accepting of the weight, the moral weight, that indeed I did these things that I wish I hadn't. And also the sense that there is some, you know, there is justice in the universe, and most people really don't know that. People with a materialist worldview, which is most everyone, really don't want to consider essential responsibility for the trouble in their lives. The idea that I create my own reality. Very few people really believe that, you know. And so Gautama is teaching about karma and cause and effect 2,500 years ago, is still relatively rejected by most everyone. Certainly, materialists can't have that view because they only see a single lifetime as reality and nothing prior. Therefore, whatever comes to me must be genetic, or it's accidental, or it's random, or it's, well, whatever, shit happens. Oh, we don't know. Who knows? Yeah, well, some people know, but you don't know. The one who says, who knows, doesn't realize that some people do know. And you can know too. But they think, I can't know. So rather than admitting that they don't know, and actually they would like to know, and that maybe they can. And maybe some people do, or in fact, I guess some people do know, but I don't know. How can I know? Do I really want to know? Well, I may ought to consult with the people or the areas of knowledge and tradition that may have some explanations for me, and that's seeking. But it's seeking and finding, like there was something in the Gnostic material, something, when he seeks, he will find and he'll become disturbed or perturbed. There is a lot of finding that naturally comes from seeking, that naturally comes from a commitment to knowing or finding truth or opening heart, a finding that's bitter, that leads to disturbance in the mind, which then requires greater acceptance. And taking responsibility is some portion of that. But a lot of people really do feel that shit happens without reason, and that they're not responsible for what happens in their life or many phenomena, experiences of their life. Many people really have that sense still, it seems to me. So, thanks for today. And Happy New Year. And take good care of yourselves. That's always number one. See you next time, and good night.